The third point this morning is that the cross is a symbol of suffering. A symbol of suffering for Jesus. The cross is a place where you experience prolonged excruciating pain till you breathe your last. Giant nails were used on their hands and on their feet. And because of gravity, the body begins to sag. And breathing becomes difficult. And you know what is next? It's eventual death. Death through suffocation. The fourth point of what the cross meant to Jesus is that it meant, like we all know, the symbol of death. The cross was never a temporary place of torture. It was not a place where you'll be tortured for a while and you'll be let go. It was a journey of no return. And Jesus took his last breath on that cross for us. Up till today, the death of Jesus remains an enigma to most Jews. They can't fathom how their Savior will come and be crucified like a criminal. They still expect a physical king who will come in all his glory. But 1 Corinthians 1 from verse 22 to 24 tells us something. It says that the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Hallelujah. Unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greek foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and wisdom of God. Galatians 2:20 says that I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus was stripped of his life, his rank, his privileges, his comfort, his security, his power. Like we saw in Philippians 2:7, he emptied himself. He obeyed to the point of death, even death on the cross. We are to imitate our Lord and walk in his steps. It is about a life of surrender. This life of surrender will require some things from us. The life of surrender is one, a sacrificial life. We are to be living sacrifices moment by moment, day by day. Paul reiterates this by saying that is being poured out as a drink offering in God's service. What does sacrifice mean? Sacrifice entails giving up something we want or need for the common good. In this instance, we're talking about soul winning. Sacrifice requires doing beyond our best, as may be demanded by any given task. Knowing that there is nothing extraordinary on its own, it is only man's extraordinary input that can make anything extraordinary. And as we give up our talent, our resources, our time to the work of the Lord, we know that soul winning is the best form of stewardship to God. We have been called to a life of total surrender and a life of sacrifice all the way. Suffering comes with the work. Suffering comes with the surrendered life. Suffering comes with taking up our cross, and it requires endurance. As we identify with the cross, as we do the work, as we make disciples, as we shine as light in our world, as we identify with our Savior, suffering might come along the line. And we are encouraged to endure for the sake of the cross. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Verse 3 says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your heart. Remember, you have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin." There's no student that will come out with excellent results that would not endure some form of hardness. There's no farmer that will come out with a bountiful harvest that will not endure some form of hardness. There's no substitute to endurance. We have to go through it. A seed not sown is a harvest lost. So also is a talent not traded. We should consider it a honorable thing to suffer for the sake of Christ. Romans 1:16 says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ Jesus. I'm not in any way ashamed of it." Philippians 1:29 says, "For unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." In our journey of making disciples, we will obviously be exposed to opposition, to shame, to insult, to rejections. And our position should be like that of Jesus. Because of the joy that is set before us, we will endure it all. Because of the cross, we will never deny our Savior, but we will identify with him in his death all the way. These disciples were frequently threatened and beaten in effort to stop them from preaching. But Acts 5:41 says something. It says that they went back rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name's sake. Taking up our cross also requires for us to live a disciplined life. It's a life of discipline. The surrendered life is a disciplined life. Discipline has to do with doing the desired, not just when it is convenient, but as demanded. There is no software for making disciples or experiencing fruitfulness in the kingdom. See, folks, the work has to be done. And it has to be done dutifully, sometimes in the hard way. We will need to put our bodies under. We will need to subject our cravings, our appetites, our encumbrances, our distractions, so that we might be able to give time over to soul winning and making disciples. Soul winning requires a good run because it's highly rewarding. No vision will ever come alive without giving it a run. No one will win the prize without subscribing to the required pressures. 2 Timothy 2:4-5 says something. "No man that worried entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strives lawfully." As we put this point in mind today, and we make up our minds to walk by the rules, we know by the grace of God that we are better equipped to make disciples and fulfill our work here. As I conclude this morning, I would like to encourage us from the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 30. It says that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous is like a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. My concluding verse this morning is in Daniel 12, verse 3. It says, And they that be wise. I know that we are wise. I know we have the wisdom of God, and I know that we will walk thus by. It says, and they that are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Conclusion: taking up one's cross simply means being ready to go through some or all of the things that Christ suffered by reason of the cross. And these points were stated earlier on. He went through strong opposition. He endured so much shame. He suffered a lot. And he finally died for the cause of the gospel. We may not have to go through all this, but at some point in our journey, winning souls, making disciples, expanding the kingdom of God, we might need to identify with one or more than one of these. But let us remember that Christ has gone ahead of us. He has become our forerunner in this. And because of that, we have all it takes to go through it and come out victorious. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for your word today. We give you all the glory, we give you all the honor. We appreciate you, Lord, that this word is a watchword for us. We will run with it, and the glory shall be yours all the way. Thank you, Father, that it is you that worketh in us both to will and to do of your pleasure, Lord. We trust you all the way, Lord. We know that you are holding us by the hands, and we are walking with you all the way. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Amen.